Matthew chapter number 25. In this brand new series here this morning, titled Dollars and Cents, I'm going to be spending some time talking about stewardship and being a proper steward of the things that God has given to every single one of us. And you know, this time of year, we often stop for just a little while, and at least part of a day, and thank God for the different ways that He has blessed each one of us. We ought to spend a lot more time than that. It ought to be an everyday part of our walk with God, is just thanking Him for what He's done for us. And many times people will talk about thanking God for saving their soul, and what a wonderful thing to thank God for. But we ought to have things every day to be thankful for, because God is working in our hearts and lives every single day in a lot of different ways, just giving us life and breath every day. We have something new to thank Him for, and so I encourage you to be thankful all the time. We're going to spend this Tuesday evening focusing in on giving thanks to God for the different ways that He has blessed us. I encourage you to come ready to share a testimony of thanksgiving for maybe some special thing that God has done or how He's worked in your life recently. But God's blessed all of us, okay? He's given us all a lot. And one of the things that we talk about often is how blessed we are just to be Americans. That as an American, you have more than most of the rest of the world. Man, what a thought that is, because we often think about the things that we don't have, the things that we can't afford, the things that we can't do, and don't really spend enough time focusing in on the wonderful blessings that God has given to us. And so over the next few weeks, we do want to take some time to think about what God has blessed us with and how we might properly use it for His honor and His glory. So here we are in Matthew chapter number 25. For some of you, it might be a very well-known portion of Scripture. For others of you, it might be something you're going to hear for the first time. But Jesus is going to here give us a parable. Okay, so He's going to tell us a story to teach us a truth. And we see that here in Matthew chapter number 25. Let's begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Now, for those of you that may not know, that word talent is the idea he gives them some money. Okay, so they would weigh out the precious stones, and a talent is a measurement of weight. So it has to do with money that he was giving to each one of his servants, and he expected them to use it wisely while he was gone, to invest it and to have some profit back when he would return. So verse 16 continues on, says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So used to have 5, he invested it, he used it wisely, now he has 10. Likewise, verse 17, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. So he took the 2, notice not as much as the guy who had 5, but he took what God had given to him, his Lord, his master, represents God here. Took what God had given to him, and he gained 2 besides the 2 that God had given to him. Verse 18 says, "But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said unto and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we spent some time this morning singing and praising you for your majesty and recognizing you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, it's one thing for us to sing it and to say, it's another thing for us to live it with the way that we go about our lives. Lord, I think of this steward and this servant here who stated all the things that he knew about his master, but it did not provoke him to the proper action. And Lord, we don't just want to sing that you're our master and you're our Lord and you're our King. God, we want to live it. And so as we stop this morning and we think about what it means to be a good steward and investing the treasure that you've given to each one of us, I pray that we would be a good steward, be a wise steward. And Lord, I think of those who are here who've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Lord, you brought them here this morning that they might understand that you love them and that you don't want them to have to pay for their own sins. You paid the price already. All they have to do is trust in you and accept your sacrifice as the payment of their sins. And you've said that they would be born again, given everlasting life. All things are made new. And I pray that that might be true of them this morning. And for the rest of us, Lord, help us to search our hearts and really determine where our treasure lies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we think of this story here, and the challenge over the next few weeks is going to be for each of us to think about the things that God has blessed us with and what exactly are we doing with it. You know, you say, well, I don't really have a lot of money. Well, you have some. You have time that God has given to each and every one of us. He's given us all the same amount of time. What are you doing with that? He's given all of us a different kind of talent than what we read about here. He's given us abilities and things that we can use for His honor and His glory. And so as we read about this portion of Scripture, we read about this Lord who has servants. Okay, and God is our Lord. He is our Master. If you've come to know Him as your Savior, then you are one of His. And He's blessed each and every one of us in a lot of different ways. And He expects us to take the things that He has blessed us with and to use it for His honor and His glory. And one of the things that I encourage people to do is to spend some time studying the life of Joseph. And I don't know that there's a greater example of what stewardship is all about than the life of Joseph, who was sold into slavery and was put over the entire household of Potiphar, and so much so that it says that Potiphar didn't even know how much money he had. He didn't know how much cattle. He didn't know the things that he had. The only thing he knew is the food in front of him. That's how much authority he had given Joseph over his belongings. But the belongings weren't Joseph's. Okay, the houses and the cattle and the money weren't Joseph's. He was taking care of them. He was stewarding them for Potiphar. And God has blessed all of us in a lot of different ways. And you are a steward. I am a steward of the things that God has given to us. And you know, it's interesting to see and to think about what's important to different people. Recently, I was watching a program. It was about this test. They gave children these tests, and it had to do with marshmallows. So they sat them in a room, and they watched them, and they said, they sat one marshmallow in front of them and said, you can eat this now if you want to, but if you can wait until I come back, I'll take that one marshmallow and I'll give you another marshmallow so you can have two marshmallows. And it was interesting to see the response of some of these children and the way they thought about things and what way they valued things. And there were some kids that as soon as that person left and shut the door, they ate the marshmallow. Just couldn't wait. Had to have it right now. There were other kids that kind of, they would sit and they'd look at it and they'd kind of play around with it. And then they'd eat it after a little while. There were some kids that they put it out of their sight. Okay, if I'm not looking at it, it kind of takes the temptation away. Some of us, that's what we got to do with the treats and other things, get it out of our house so it's not in front of our sight, right? So we don't eat it all. So they would take their cup or whatever and they would hide the marshmallow so they wouldn't be tempted. And there were those that still thought about it being under there, and then they would take the cup off and they would eat it. Others kind of waited. And then it was quite interesting because in this program they brought a magician in, and they sat down with these kids, and so the instructor would come and give the same speech about having the one marshmallow and if you can wait, and he would leave this magician and this child in there. And it was quite interesting as the magician would start to make marshmallows appear out of all different places. And so then the kids, like, they don't know if they can eat those marshmallows or not eat them. And one of the instances, this guy had a whole pile of marshmallows on his plate. And he said, we got to hurry up and get rid of these things before they come back and know we were up to something. And the kid is just like, I don't know, is this okay? Like, what can I do? But to see the faces of these kids as they tried to reason out, should I wait and have a bigger reward later? Or am I just worried about here and right now? And I know there's one marshmallow in front of me right now, and so I'm going to kind of grab it. And you know, it's the difference between these different servants here. It's just like watching those kids. You have some servants who thought about the future, thought about that day where their master is going to come back and going to ask them, what did you do with what I gave you? Then you have the one servant who only thought about the here and now. Just thought about today, right now. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And as we begin this series, I want each of us to answer the question of where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What is it that we're living our lives for? Are we living it so we can have our reward here and now in this life? Are we living our lives so that we can lay up treasure in heaven? And here in Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus is teaching his followers. This comes out of a very famous message that he gave that has been given the title of the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins in Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse number 1. Says this: Take heed that ye do not your alms before men. Okay, when it's talking about doing your alms, it's the idea of giving an offering. So just as we took up an offering here, they would have times where you could give your offering, give your tithe, and so on and so forth. And so he tells them to be careful that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then we have what's entitled the Lord's Prayer here, where he teaches his disciples how to pray. Let's skip down over that to verse number 16. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon," or treasure or money is the idea behind that word mammon, is what he's talking about. And so as we read this portion of Scripture, we answer that question, where is your treasure? We can have it either here on this earth, and we can live our lives for the here and now. And it's so funny to see the way our society works, because here we have Thanksgiving coming up. We have the time where we're supposed to stop and give thanks for all the blessings. And then the very next day is Black Friday, right? Where we show exactly how ungrateful and how unsatisfied and uncontent that we are with what God has given to us. And now they don't even wait till Black Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, some things have already started. But just how back and forth, you see, we go from one day, one moment, giving thanks, to the very next, we've got to trample people over to get that good TV and get the best deal possible. And we've all seen those videos of what happens and the people being trampled and the fights and everything else. It's kind of sad to see what happens. But it really shows the two sides there. It's living for the here and now or living for eternity. And too often, even as Christians, we only focus on the here and now. We live our lives for the here and now rather than thinking about eternity. Rather than thinking about that day where our Lord, our Master, our Savior is going to come back, and we're going to have to give an account of the way that we've lived our lives and what we've done with God has given to us. And we can, first of all, have treasure on earth. And we find an interesting portion of Scripture here as it notes these different things that seem like great things to do. Talks about giving, talks about praying, talks about fasting, and you'll notice in each of these instances, it's not put up as if you can or cannot do it. Okay, Jesus just expects that if you're his follower, you are going to give, you are going to pray, you are going to fast, and we often live our lives like we can just kind of pick or choose those different categories of what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. Jesus just said, when you do it. In other words, he just expects that if you're one of his followers, you're going to take part in giving the offering, that you're going to take part and pray to him, that you're going to take part and you're going to spend time fasting and seeking his face in different matters. And we've already spent some time earlier this year talking about fasting and what it means. So you can go online to our website and get more information on fasting if you're not too familiar with that. But he just expects it's going to be a part of the Christian life. But one of the things that he notes here is that you can do it in such a way so that your reward is here on earth, even in quote-unquote spiritual things. And you'll notice in Matthew chapter number 6, in the first couple of verses, he says, "If you give to be seen of men, you will have your reward on earth." Notice, it says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards." And you notice what happens here is he says you need to be careful about your giving. Your giving ought to be something between you and the Lord. And don't be like these people that want everybody to know what they give. And it was here during this time period, you'd have these religious leaders that would literally sound trumpets. They'd get everybody's attention when it was time for them to give because they wanted everybody to know what they were giving, how much they were giving, and all the great things that they were doing by giving this immense of wealth. He says, God won't reward you for that. Even though you're doing a good thing. Is it good to give? Yes, it is. Christians ought to be the most generous people. As a Christian, you ought to be the best tipper there is. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people who have been in the food industry that that's not the case most of the time. Most of the time, servers hate getting Christians. They hate Sundays when all the Christians are going to leave church and go out to the restaurants because they don't tip very well. Shame on us. As Christians, we ought to be generous and we ought to be known to give and give well and to help people in need and all those things. But here, they're taking something that should be a good thing and he says they don't have the reward of God, they have the reward of men. Okay, if that's what you want, go ahead and sound the alarm and let everybody know what it is that you're giving and how generous of a person that you are. That's the reward that you have and it's a reward that's here on this earth. And so you can have that reward if that's what you really want. And it's quite interesting as a pastor to have the different responses of people. And there's been times where people very clearly wanted me to know that they donated this certain item or they gave that amount of money or whatever it is. I don't want to know. I don't need to know what you give. Okay, nobody writes me a list and says this person gave this amount of money and that person gave that amount of money. And I'm glad that they don't because I don't need to know. Okay, that's between you and the Lord. If you want to be seen of men and to be known of men, how great and how generous and how giving that you are, that's the reward that you'll have, but it will be just here on this earth. And what a sad thing to so live for the here and now that that's what you want and that's what you desire. He says, even in doing a good thing, like being generous and giving, you can simply do it for the here and now. And you'll have a reward on this earth. Notice what he says about prayer. If you pray to be heard of men, you'll have your reward on earth. Look at verse number 5. He says, and when thou prayest, okay, so prayer is just a natural part of a believer's life. And you ought to have a good prayer life. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So he says the same thing. And here you would have these people that would gather everybody's attention, and they'd scream and shout and pray really loud so that everybody could hear exactly how spiritual that they are. And you know, you can tell a lot about a person by the way that they pray. And it's always interesting when you have somebody who you can just kind of tell in the way that they're praying that they're trying to show how spiritual that they are. What a sad thing. Man, some of the sweetest prayers I have ever heard were from dear saints who were just not all the religious words and all this kind of high-sounding junk. They were just literally pouring out their hearts to the Lord. And what a beautiful sound that is. But he says, even in a great thing like prayer, which should be a part of all of our lives as Christians, you can pray in such a way that your reward is just here and now. That your prayers get no higher than the ceiling. If you do it just to so people can hear how spiritual you are and what a mighty prayer warrior you are, and maybe we should put that in quotes, you have your reward here now. Once again, that's somebody who's so focused on the here and now that the only thing that's important to them or the thing that is most important is the people around them hear and know how spiritual that they are. He then goes on to say, if you fast to be seen of men, you'll have your reward on earth. Look at verse number 16. He says, moreover, when ye fast. Okay, so notice once again, he says, when you fast, it is to be a normal part of the Christian's life. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And once again, you'd have these people that made sure they had on the sackcloth, the ashes, all these things, and they walked around like Eeyore all the time. Woe is me, and you know, I'm fasting and I'm withholding with food and all these different things so that I can seek God's face and showing how miserable that they are in doing it. Once again, so they could show everybody how spiritual they are. What a great Christian, what a great follower of God I am that I spend this certain amount of time fasting, seeking God's face. And he says they have their reward. And they have it here and now. And this is just in the areas of what we'd call spirituality. Okay, we could go outside of there and talk about jobs and talk about seeking money and seeking all these things where we just live for the here and now. He's just focusing in on the spiritual side of things. He doesn't even get into all the other things. But he says you have your reward here and now. You can lay up your treasure for the here and now. Or he says you can lay up your treasure in heaven. And he also gives the other side of all these things because we can have the wrong motive and do the wrong thing and have our treasure here and now in this life, or we can have the right motive and do the right thing and lay up treasure in heaven. Look at verse numbers 3 and 4. He says, if you give to be seen of God, you will have your reward in heaven. He says in verse number 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, one of the things I do want to point out is there's a lot of people that falsely preach and teach that if you give so much money, then God will give you money back. That's not necessarily the way that it works. Are there times God does that? Yes, there are. But He will bless in a lot of other ways, maybe not even here in this life. What Jesus is trying to teach here is not give and you'll get wealthy and all those things. If we're giving to get, our motivation is wrong and we're not going to get in the first place. Okay, we ought to give because it's what God wants from us and because we love Him. But He says, if you give and you have the right motivation, and it's not to be seen of men, it's simply your relationship with God. In giving, and we have an offering time, and I encourage people to take the offering time very seriously. Why? Because that's part of our worship to the Lord. It's part of giving back, and it ought to be something where it's between us and the Lord. He says, when you give simply because you love God, you'll have your reward. Sometimes God does bless in this life because we give. Maybe not monetarily, but in other ways. The scripture here talks about, you know, if you do all these things, then He'll make sure your needs are taken care of and provided for and those sorts of things. But He says you can have your reward in heaven. Okay, God will reward you versus men rewarding you. And that's really what the choice is all about. You can have your reward here and now by men and by people, or you can let God reward you. He goes on and he says, if you pray to be heard of God, you will have your reward in heaven. Look at verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So once again, don't just pray to be seen and heard of men. There are times where we have corporate prayer meetings and we ask people to pray in public for us as a congregation, those sorts of things. That's not bad. That's not wrong. Okay, if you're called upon to pray, you can obviously do it in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord if you're praying just to be heard of those who are around us. He said every time we pray, whether it's in a corporate worship setting or in our own private time, it ought to be something that's, hey, I'm just talking to God. I'm developing my relationship with Him, and He's the one I want to hear me, and He's the one I want to talk to. And He says, if that's the way that we pray, then we'll have our reward from Him. He also says, if you fast to be seen of God, you'll have your reward in heaven. Look at verses 17 and 18. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So once again, it's not that we, when the time comes that we're to fast, it's not that we let everybody know I'm fasting and everybody know that I'm forsaking food and certain things so that I can spend time with God. That's not the way to do it. I encourage people to let as few people know about it as possible. Okay, if you're married, your spouse needs to know, and every once in a while, for different reasons, people may need to know that, hey, I'm on a fast, so I can't come to your house for dinner or whatever. Or if I come over, I won't be eating. You know, there's certain times where people just have to know for certain reasons. But for the most part, we don't need to broadcast it. You don't need to post it on Twitter. I'm fasting for the next 40 days. Okay, you'll have your reward of men if we do that. But see, it's to be a part of your relationship with just God, and He's the only one that needs to know. He says, if that's the way that you approach fasting, that's the way you approach prayer, that's the way that you approach giving, then you'll have your reward of God. And each of us need to really stop and to think about all the things that we're doing with our life, not just in these three areas, but with everything. Okay, in our witnessing, are we doing things for the here and now? Are we doing things to invest in eternity? We could take some time to talk about how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we use the talents and the abilities that God has given to us. Okay, He just approaches these three spiritual areas. We want to think about our entire life and everything about who you are, everything that God has blessed you with. Are we investing it in the here and now, or are we investing it in eternity? And it really shows where our heart is. Notice verse number 21. Well, let's look at verse number 19 since we're talking about it. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And man, you think about, just watch the news and you'll see how things are just ruined and destroyed. Between somebody stealing it and somebody taking it, or a hurricane coming, a fire coming, and you know, you see these multi-million dollar mansions that are just up in smoke. And yet that's what a lot of people live their lives for the here and now that can be gone in a moment. And when you pass out of this life, you can't take it with you. Jesus Himself said, don't live your life for the here and now. He says in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And you can lay it up in a secure setting. You know, I've heard people talk about the fact you can't take it with you. Well, it's kind of true. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. Okay, you can take the things that God has blessed you with, the money, the time, the treasures, the talents, and all those things, and you can invest it in such a way that you send it ahead of you into eternity, where it can't be destroyed, it can't be wasted, it can't be squandered away. And He really challenges us in the area of our heart in verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your heart is in this world, that's where your treasure is going to be. And you're going to pray to be seen of men, you're going to give to be seen of men, you're going to invest your money and other things in the here and now. If your heart is in heaven, where the Scripture tells us in Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. My Savior is there. My God is there, so my heart should be there. And I should be investing my life and everything associated with it there. Because no one can serve two masters, verse number 24. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and treasure. That's what He tells us. In other words, you can't lay up treasure and live your life to lay up treasure on the earth and think that you're going to do the same thing and lay up treasure in heaven. It's one or the other. That's why we ask the question, and each of us need to answer it for ourselves. Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in the here and now, or is your treasure in eternity? Because that shows what it is that you're serving. Can't serve both at the same time. Can't serve treasure in this earth and serving God at the same time. It doesn't work that way. It's one or the other. We're all going to live our lives for what matters, or we're going to live our lives for what is going to fade away. But only you can answer that question. When you answer that question, it'll show exactly where each of our hearts lies. Whether it lies in the here and now, or whether it lies in the eternal. Because one day, just as we read that parable, our Lord is going to come back. And there is coming a day where, as a believer, each of us are going to give an account of our lives. God's going to say, I gave you so much time, what did you do with it? And I gave you so much money, what did you do with it? And I gave you so many of these different things, houses and cars and whatever else, and kids and spouse and talents and abilities. I gave you all these things. How did you invest it in the things that really matter? And so as we begin this series on stewardship and talking about money, we want to first of all figure out where each of our hearts lie. Because if our heart is not in the right place, then our wallet's not going to be in the right place. And our attitude on money won't be in the right place. So let's settle the matter of the heart first, and then we'll be more sensitive as we talk about some of these other things and using them wisely.